Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And a very good Wednesday morning to everybody. Now, Len, I have to ask you, have you considered how brilliant our president is? We have been...
That hasn't been on the tip of my tongue, no.
I'm going to give you a perspective that you CNN watching, you people who tear up with those Rachel Maddow crocodile tears on MSNBC, perhaps have not considered before, all right?
This should be choice.
This country has been unable to come to a sensible immigration policy for decades. Every president before Trump has failed to come up with an immigration policy. This president, through his slightly chaotic but dramatic tactics, has now brought the Republicans together to come up with some sensible immigration policies. He knows that the Democrats, if you want to put children back with the families, they're going to have to come to the table too. He blew up the whole thing. And yesterday, you had the GOP, which has been fighting about immigration for decades, coming together, the House and the Senate, to try to come up with a sensible immigration policy. He is making an omelet by cracking a few eggs that are in some detention centers down there at the border.
Is that the best you can do?
This is a breakthrough.
This is the best you
can
do?
This is a breakthrough, Len.
Oh, sure.
All you're going to do is go on and on. Oh, my God, the kids must be reunited with the parents. This is a terrible, horrible thing. And you know what? If you do that, it'll be business as usual with no immigration policy. He brought the North Koreans to the table. Now he's bringing the Republicans, who have been crazy on immigration. They have not been able to agree with themselves. They're finally coming together to put forward some positions. And Trump is willing to entertain them. We are going to have a breakthrough on immigration policy after decades.
Yeah, great. Is that the best you could do? Yeah, I was wondering. I came in here and I was wondering how you and Bartlett were going to twist yourself into pretzels trying to defend the immorality of kids being torn away from their parents. It's absolutely immoral. It's absolutely un-American. And you two are going to twist yourself into pretzels to defend them because that's what you two do. So have at it. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the show.
Can I ask you, Len? I mean, so somebody comes across the border with a child. We just let him in. Oh,
that's right.
You've got a child. Yep. We can't separate you. You come in.
You broke the
What's
law.
What's the solution?
Fine. Not to separate them.
What?
Not
that's,
to
that's,
separate
that's
them.
Too that's too simplistic.
BS, Bartlett.
That is too
just
simplistic.
Throw them out. I don't care if you throw them out. I don't
throw
care
them
if you
out together.
Incarcerate
that's
them.
What Joe and I have been saying.
I don't care what you do with them. I'm saying this is not Democrat. This is not Republican. This is nothing. This is humanity. You do not separate kids. And then you have this moron, Corey Lewandowski, last night. Did you hear this one?
I mean, look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
That's Corey Lewandowski. Ask you going wah wah.
Well, what he's
to
saying
to a youngster with Down syndrome.
He's not, you're misinterpreting. He's not making fun of the Down syndrome.
Wah,
he's just
wah.
Saying here we go with those Democratic right, talking yeah. points. That's what he's making fun of. You have deliberately misinterpreted his wah wah. He is not making fun of a Down syndrome kid. He said, "Oh my, here we go again with the sob stories that you Democrats have on your list of talking points."
Let me ask you a question. Can I put your hand on a Bible and give you truth serum? Because I cannot believe you are definitely supporting Corey Lewandowski.
That was not making fun of the Down syndrome kid.
Please.
He was saying, "Here we go again with a Democratic talking point."
Oh, there's a Down
points.
Syndrome kid. Wah wah! Stop it.
He's not making fun of the Down syndrome.
No, I don't
he's
think
not.
So.
He's
no,
not.
That's
you
a stretch.
You are misinterpreting deliberately, Len.
You two are ridiculous.
MSNBC, Len.
I'm not misinterpreting anything. Did you hear the guy on the show?
He's not making fun of a Down syndrome person.
Listen to more of this.
I mean, look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
Wah,
I
wah.
Read about a did you say want want to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome?
No,
being
no,
taken from
you
her
can
mother?
Pick anything
how
you
dare
want
you?
Down, but the bottom line
how
is very
dare
clear.
You?
When you cross
how absolutely
the border
dare you,
illegally,
sir?
You
how
have
dare
given
you?
Up the
we
rights
have infants
of this
that are being taken from
Look,
their mother.
That was some Democrat going
it was yeah. The wah wah is not about the Down syndrome
oh,
kid. He's
no.
saying, oh, here we go again. The Democrats are saying the same thing. Republicans are Nazis. They're horrible. They're evil. They're ripping babies out of the wombs of mothers. It's like Rachel Maddow with those fake tears. Did
By
you see
way,
her breaking
yeah,
down and crying?
What a phony.
Oh my
what
God.
A phony.
Oh, it was like, oh,
yeah.
She had a speck in her eye. She
Please.
Thought, oh, I could make a bit out of this
phony.
By pretending to cry.
You thought this was phony?
This has just come out from the Associated Press.
This is incredible. Trump administration officials have been sending babies and other young children.
Oh,
hold on. To at least three.
Wah,
put up the graphic
wah.
Of this.
Exactly.
Wah,
oh, my
wah.
God. I can't take any more.
There's a woman with heart.
Oh, come on,
oh, by the way.
That was the fakest thing I've seen on TV in years.
You know what Corey Lewandowski said?
Wah, wah,
exactly.
Wah. Yeah.
All right. Also in the big three, at last, finally, this is the absolutely sensible, correct decision. We should have done it years ago. The United States has pulled out of the ridiculous United Nations Human Rights Council, which exists for one reason and one reason only, to bash Israel. That is a bastion of anti-Semitism. In fact, I think the U.S. should go further and pull out of the United Nations altogether, because the United Nations, Len, is the biggest joke on the planet. And also in the big three, this is a sad story. Remember that little girl, Mallory Grossman, who was bullied in school?
Sure.
And the kids went on social media and said, when are you going to kill yourself? She was 12 years old, and she did kill herself. Her parents are now suing Rockaway Township in New Jersey, the Board of Education, the principal at the school, and several other school officials, because the parents claim they knew that this kid was being bullied, and they did nothing to stop it.
The thing that bothered me, I mean, the whole story just bothers me, but the school never contacted the family after the child's death. Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe
never.
That. Wow, that's cold.
No one.
That's heartless.
That's what I heard.
Wow.
No one from the school called them.
That's heartless.
Wow. No, Natalie, you've got kids in school in New Jersey. I mean, what should school officials, what's the protocol if they know that a kid is being bullied?
Protocol?
What should they do?
Well, there are very strong laws in New Jersey right now, which is interesting that nothing was ever done, called HIB laws. And if there's any bit of bullying going on, there's consequences right away. But kids, I think teachers seem to be afraid. I don't even want to say teachers. Everybody is afraid of lawsuits.
So they don't want to act at all? So
and
they will just look
I
the other way?
They don't. Their hands are tied. They don't know which way to go. Kids who really aren't in situations are getting pulled out because every little word that they say is taken seriously. And it should be. And it should be. And then the kids that are in desperate situations a lot of times fall through the cracks, and I don't know why.
It's a hard thing to.
It's so difficult.
Correct. It's a terrible thing if you're going through it. One of my kids went through it, and it.
Went through bullying, Joe?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you handle it?
Well,
you probably wanted to kill the other kids. I'm sure.
Well,
as a parent.
It's the schools. They're powerless. And it's similar to this case. This girl, what they did is, because she was bullied in the cafeteria, they made her eat in a room by herself.
Oh,
and
come
how is
on.
That going to help? She had to go to the counseling
office. Oh, my God, that is horrible.
Exactly, yeah.
That's
so they
terrible.
Took her out of the situation.
Yeah.
The girl who was being bullied.
Usually, what happens, I think, a lot is the person who's being bullied ends up being
isolated.
Yeah, sort of say it. Then it indicates that it's that person's problem, not the problem of the people who are doing this bullying.
So a kid who already feels alienated because everyone's making fun of her and bullying her is now going to made to feel isolated too by having to sit by herself. They should sue the crap out of the school
and that
principal.
I've seen it to the point where parents have nowhere to turn except to take their kids out of school and homeschool them. Now, how is that going to help the situation?
How about this? Why can't the administrators at a school contact the parents of the kids who are bullying the other kid and bring them in and say, hey, maybe you, parents, should intervene and prevent your kid from being a jerk?
That's too logical.
Well, it's uncomfortable for school people to do that.
Well, how uncomfortable is it? A 12-year-old girl killed herself.
Well, I agree.
Does it get more uncomfortable than that for the administrators of the school? They've got the death of a child on their hands.
And bullying goes so further now than happened before, because, you know, it used to be in the classroom or on the schoolyard.
And you could separate them.
Right.
The teacher could intervene.
It's
now
24 hours a day.
Yeah.
The kid can never get a break, can never get one moment of rest.
Yeah, thank God when it was happening to my son, we didn't have the internet was not.
But how did you solve the problem?
He just dealt with it. You know, it went on. And
how long a period? And how old was he?
Well, it was through middle school, high school, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Didn't you just want to go in there and clock
the
kids?
Yeah, sure you did.
Did you contact their parents, talk to their parents about it?
No, it was, you know, not really. Wow. We kind of left it up to the school. And, you know, for a moment you thought it was our problem. But then we took him to some counseling, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with your kid.
You know, I just wonder what the numbers are nationally, because this is not an isolated situation.
Oh, sure.
It's got to be going on around the country, this online bullying.
Have you seen how adorable? I mean, any.
Oh, I know.
So this is a beautiful little girl. Yeah.
And how did the school not call them afterwards, Joe?
I don't know.
That's mind blowing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard on one of the TV reports yesterday, that they had not contacted.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's
terrible. I hope they get millions of dollars out of that principal and ruin his life and his career for doing nothing.
Ooh, wow,
to help
you're
this
vicious,
girl,
man. Michael.
What side of the bed did you wake up on this morning?
When we get back.
Wow, geez.
When we get back, yes, I agree entirely with what Trump has done. He has pulled out of the anti-Semitic United Nations Human Rights Council. It is a cesspool of political bias. We'll jump into that when we get back. But first, Bernie Vider with the traffic.
On 710 WOR.
Oh, good morning, everyone. It's 624. I'm so excited by all that GE stock I still have because of my work at NBC.
All those years.
It's unbelievable. They've been in the Dow Jones Industrial Average since 1907, and they got booted out yesterday. They're out. It's not that they're replaced by Walgreens.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how embarrassing. Replaced by Walgreens.
Please tell me your whole retirement is not tied up in GE stock.
Well, I'll be here for a long time to come. It's me and you. Oh, it's me and you forever and a day.
You need a loan, Len? I can help you out.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it's the welcome to the isolation country of the year. Let's see. I've lost count. We've pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah, that was good.
We pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord.
We should have, yeah.
We pulled out of the TPP trade partnership.
Yeah.
And now the U.S. has pulled out of the U.N. Human Rights Council. Like, I guess this is the one I agree with the most out of all of those.
Oh, the Human Rights Council has been the biggest joke. Well, all they want to do is attack Israel. Do they take up any abuses in Iran or Venezuela or any of these other dictatorships, these horrible countries? No, all they want to do is sit around and say the Jews are doing terrible things to the Palestinians and Israel should not exist.
Well, listen to you, and you're not even Jewish. You know, any Jews?
You.
Did any Jews grow up in your town upstate New York?
Actually, now that I'm getting to know you better, I may join the Human Rights Council.
How many Jews were, where were you? Geneseo? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Geneseo. Well,
did you have one in your high school?
We had one family, and
they got run out of town?
No, they were the Levins, and I have to
the Levins.
I admit to you that every time they were discussed, people said, you know the Levins, the Jewish family. And I also was here, but I was in a production when I was in high school of The Diary of Anne Frank. The Levins auditioned for it, and they weren't cast in it. It was the all-Christian version of The Diary of Anne Frank. We were all Catholics and Presbyterians playing the Frank family.
Did they at least cast Levin as Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof?
We did not do Fiddler on the Roof. That would have been too extreme.
But just tell me, in Geneseo, did they pronounce Jew as one syllable or two?
Jew.
It wasn't G-U like in Alabama?
Well, okay. It was a little bit. I have to admit, there was anti-Semitism all around me. But, Len.
Yes, you survived it.
It was because I was in that production of The Diary of Anne Frank that I became interested in history and the Holocaust. As a seventh grader, I was reading about the Holocaust, which is why I am 100% behind Israel. Yeah. The Jews, as you well know, have been persecuted.
Oh, there's no question.
Throughout history, people have tried to exterminate them. So they have their own country and they say, no more. Well, if you come after us, we will blow you to smithereens. Absolutely.
Well, she went on Nikki Haley, our terrific UN ambassador. I like her a lot. She went on a 9-minute screed yesterday. She accused the council of sticking up for countries that abuse their citizens without repercussions, and a bias against the U.S. and Israel and on and on and on. She said the group admitted Congo was a member when mass graves were discovered.
Exactly.
She cited Venezuela, Iran, Cuba, Egypt, China, and Russia among the countries who attempted to undermine reforms within the council. Here's Nikki Haley yesterday.
As we said we would do a year ago, if we did not see any progress, the United States is officially withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Council. This disproportionate focus and unending hostility towards Israel is clear proof that the Council is motivated by political bias, not by human rights.
Most of the UN is anti-Semitic, I think. I think the United States should pull out of the UN. I think the UN is the biggest waste of money. It's nothing for a bunch of those third world diplomats to come here, live high on the hog on the backs of their people, so they can go to all the fancy restaurants in New York and live in the fancy townhouses that their countries buy for them, to ride around in limousines.
And they don't pay their parking tickets.
Exactly.
Let's call a spade.
They can practically murder people here and they have diplomatic immunity.
Absolutely. For too long, the Human Rights Council has been a protector of human rights abusers and a cesspool of political bias.
Well, you know, do you want to hear what Prince Zayed bin Ra'ad said?
Who is he?
He is the chief of the UN Human Rights Council. He's from Jordan. He said, given the state of human rights in today's world, the U.S. should be stepping up and not stepping back.
Jordan, I've been to Jordan, right? Jordan is a repressive country. It's got a king who keeps a lot of people under his thumb. Jordan has no right to say anything about human rights. You want to go to a prison in Jordania? See how many human rights you have in that prison.
Jordania? Is that near Mauritania? And so here's, Nikki Haley says it's not a retreat.
I want to make it crystal clear that this step is not a retreat from human rights commitments. On the contrary, we take this step because our commitment does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights.
Good for her.
Nikki Haley for president. That's what I say.
She has a good shot.
She's terrific.
I think of all the female politicians out there, I'd say she's right at the top.
She has a chance
to be the first woman president. But clearly there's an anti-Israel bias among all these countries there. And good for her. Good for the U.S.
U.S. should pull out of the U.N. and stop paying its bills.
Well, I'm sure the president agrees with you. And
turn it into Trump Soho. It could be a nice hotel.
Well, that's kind of an ugly building. Coming up on 6:30, time for the latest news headlines, and a good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Hello, Len. Governor Cuomo is suing the federal government over that immigration policy that separates kids from their parents. He's accusing President Trump of using children as leverage to get his wall.
I am accustomed to all types of legislative negotiations. I have never seen children being used as a bargaining chip.
Cuomo says 70 children separated from their parents are being held in New York. Governor Murphy over in New Jersey says he's not going to allow any state resources to be used for that purpose either.
By the way, cutting through all of this, I happen to agree with the last part of what Cuomo said there. I think this, in the president's mind, is the bargaining chip to get comprehensive immigration, get the wall built. And I think it's a crime to build that wall on the backs of these kids. But go ahead.
Seems to be working.
Governor Murphy says he's optimistic that he can avoid a government shutdown in New Jersey. Negotiations continue as the time runs out. July 1st is the budget deadline.
I got elected to rescue the middle class and put in place a fiscally responsible plan to do so. It's that simple. I think at the end of the day, we'll find common ground.
You're going to rescue the middle class by taxing millionaires. That's what,
like you, Joe. Millionaires like Joe.
Fortunately, that one probably won't hurt me.
He's going to run out of people to tax soon because everybody should be fleeing New Jersey.
A lot of people are. The big difference includes how to fund New Jersey Transit. They need a lot of money. And he doesn't like the estimates from the legislature. 8-year-old Long Island boy who was swimming in an unsupervised area off Long Beach is presumed drowned. He and his 11-year-old brother were swimming in Ocean Beach Park last night. Mm. The water got choppy. The older boy, able to make it to shore, tried to rescue the younger kid but was unsuccessful.
Terrible.
I think the kid got caught in a riptide.
Just off.
Yeah, probably so. Lifeguards don't begin regular shifts there until Friday when the beach opens.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah.
3 days.
Oh. Sad. All right, our news brought to you this morning by Rex. They sell homes for 2% total. Call them at 631-904-7739. And now, a kid's softball tournament in Tennessee ended up in a major brawl between the parents. It's absolutely crazy. These are two 12-and-under teams facing off when a group of parents got into a verbal altercation, and it went physical.
That's the American way.
Punches were thrown. Parents kicking each other as they rolled around on the ground. Nobody was arrested, but both teams were disqualified. I got to tell you, I played in a soccer game where we ended up in a dispute.
How old were you?
No, it was the kids. I was coaching.
Oh, you were coaching?
I was coaching.
What'd you do?
Well, there was a lot of trash talking during the game, and some of the parents actually chased one of my players.
What?
He ran into a car and locked himself in a car, and they were, banging on the car.
Really?
Yeah, so the police came and everybody...
What is wrong? Parents are insane.
It's so like, nah, the police came.
They chased the kid into his car and locked the door.
We're talking about the kid was probably about 12.
Oh, boy. Yeah, probably.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
That's sportsmanship in America. It's a wonderful thing.
I got a lot of stories like that.
Listen,
it gets really hot.
Are you giving yellow cards and red cards for the trash talking?
One of our coaches was red carded and thrown out one time.
I've seen coaches get thrown out.
Yeah. I've been yellow carded.
I remember growing up, I saw a parent make his 14-year-old kid, cry because the kid missed a goal in soccer. I mean,
that happens all the time.
Ridiculous. Sure. How can a parent do that?
I know.
The sideline reffing going on by parents berating their own kids is common.
My favorite all-time story was my kid's team was getting killed in a Little League baseball game, and they got destroyed, and the coach gathered them all together the dugout. I said, this is nice. The coach is going to tell. And the coach said to all the kids, you suck.
Oh, my God. Did you stand up for your kids, Len? Did you yell at the coach?
I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned.
Oh, my God.
When we get back. Oh, thanks, Joe. The Mets streak is over. Plus, nothing like a little World Cup female reporting gropage. That's coming up. You want the latest in technology? Well, our friends from PC Rich & Son are bringing you all the newest smart home products. And best of all, their salespeople are smart experts, too. They can show you how everything works, how it connects with your Google Home or Alexa. The prices are the lowest guaranteed, and the advice is free. Check this out. LG Smart Thin Q appliances. You can do some amazing things like preheat your oven, start your laundry, make extra ice for your party, all from an app on your phone. And LG ThinQ appliances work with Google Assistant and Alexa. You can get alerts when your dishwasher's done or if your kids leave the refrigerator door open. Go see a guy. I got a guy at Greenvale on Long Island. He gets me up to speed on all things smart. Go see your guy or gal at PC Rich & Son. You get the lowest prices, the best advice, expert installations. And you know that PC Richard & Son stands behind everything they sell. For appliances, electronics, mattresses, and everything smart, all you have to do is whistle. Let's check out traffic now. Here's Bernie Viter.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Well, the good news, Len, is that the Mets, they scored a lot of runs.
They did.
They scored 8 runs.
They did. So that's 20 in the last 2 games.
Yeah, so they're doing well. Unfortunately, Colorado scored 2. More than
two more.
The Mets did. They scored 10, so the Mets lost. They ended the winning streak last night. They lost to Colorado 10-8, sadly.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Well, it was fun while it lasted. This is every morning at this time, we kind of gnash over what the Mets have done. And
we've been having a good time the last few days here because the Mets were on a winning streak.
Yeah, but it's nice to see them score some runs. I mean, it was awfully painful when they were losing these 1-0, 2-1 games and wasting great pitching performances. Well, they didn't get a pitching performance last night. Jason Vargas had a 6-run third inning, gave up 7 runs in all, but this is always tough, Michael, when 3 batters in a row come up as they did for the Colorado Rockies in the third inning.
2-2 coming. High drive, deep left field, gonna go. Nolan Arenado pouncing on one. It's a long 2-run homer. Rockies ahead 4-2. 1-0 is blasted away to left field. That ball's got a shot to go. It is gonna go. Back to back. Here's a drive to right. That ball off the top of the wall. They're going to say that's a home run. It goes back onto the warning track, but Ian Desmond, opposite field, makes it back to back to back, and it's 6-2.
Ouch. Well, they did make a comeback, but those 3 guys, Nelson Arenado, then 2 pitches later, Trevor Story, and Ian Desmond, 3 in a row. That's got to shake you up. And so he was basically done. He lasted just 2 in the third innings, gave up 9 hits and 7 runs. But and also on the Mets story is that Jay Bruce was placed on the disabled list.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's been really, really struggling offensively, and he's had a variety of injuries. So they just want they did it retroactive to June 18th. They're calling it a sore right hip, but that's just one of several ailments that Jay Bruce has. So he's going to be able to heal. Now
we're going to give tickets away to the Mets at 7:30.
Yep.
And we got the turning point of the game at 8:30.
Right.
So you want to stand around for that because the Mets, they could get on a winning streak again.
Well, that's the thing. Well, you know, that's the story. Now, every week, every Tuesday night, Jerry Blevins, the relief pitcher for the Mets, shows up with Pete McCarthy at 6:10 during Mets on Deck. And that was really a subject matter because the Mets, I mean, it's really a story of momentum. You know, when they did so well at the beginning of the season and then they had the long losing streak. And, you know, I remember I said to you, hey, come on, you always get ups and downs during the course
right.
of the season.
Right.
So Pete asked Blevins about these swings of momentum.
So of course we feel it, but our job isn't to, you know, we can't take a huge step back and look at the season. We got to show up every day ready to try to win a ball game. And yeah, of course we feel momentum and we feel the ebbs and flows of the season, but you know, if we're down and out on each other, you know, that's it's going to make for an extremely long season, and these ups won't happen.
That's really a key, is that a team stays together and doesn't snipe. And I think you got to give Mickey Callaway some credit there. I mean, you haven't heard any backstabbing, any sniping.
No, you really haven't. The team does seem to have keeping the morale up despite some setbacks. So.
Hey, there was a great moment last night before the Pirates game in Pittsburgh. One of their pitchers, I don't know, making a big deal of the fact he's college educated. I think a lot of players have gone to colleges, but he majored in music performance while playing baseball at Regis University, which is in Colorado. This is Stephen Brault. And it's not every day you see a player in the game in uniform singing the national anthem.
No,
oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Oh, put that guy in Hamilton. He's good.
Not bad, right?
He could go into Hamilton.
Yeah.
Well, terrific.
He's a white guy, so I don't have. Well, they have one white guy.
All right, he can replace like Bette Midler in Hello Dolly. How's that? So, hey, did you see this this woman? She was on television. She's covering the World Cup. She's a correspondent for a German television station. She's doing her job, and this sleazeball comes up to her, kisses her on the cheek, and gropes her breast while she's on air.
I know. That wasn't nice.
Terrible. The video's up at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. I got to hand it to her, though. She was handled.
Yeah.
But, no, she kept on going doing her job, but this guy was a total
You can hear the smooch, but while the smooch is going on, he's fondling her.
Mundial, por supuesto, es un ambiente soñado para cualquier fanático del mundo, que se viene a vivir esto.
She didn't skip a beat.
No, not
she
at all.
She just kept going. Yeah. And you think it's easy being a reporter in the field?
No.
All right, so you want to guess?
Were you ever groped, Len, when you
no,
were...
No, thank goodness. But I had things thrown at me, and I got hit once.
Really?
Okay, we like to predict the games here.
Okay.
I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but yes, I got 2 out of 3 yesterday, and you guys got 1 out of 3.
I think I predicted Colombia.
You did?
I did.
Yeah. Did they win yesterday?
No.
Okay, so that's why you lost.
All right. I'm trying to remember who won.
Well, Senegal won, and Japan won, and Russia
they did.
Won.
Wow. They did.
And I had Japan and Russia.
This World Cup is topsy-turvy.
Yeah, I had Colombia, but it was Senegal. Anyway, 3 games today, guys. Who's going to win, Portugal or Morocco? These are all slam dunks.
I'm going with Morocco.
You're out of your mind.
Portugal.
Portugal, that's one. Iran or Spain?
Iran.
That's wrong, too. Spain's going to win that one. You're going to be 0 for 2. Uruguay or Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia.
I'm going with Uruguay.
Uruguay. Natalie and I are going to be 3 for 3.
I'm telling you, so far, it's been a lot of surprises out there.
That's
I could nail something tomorrow.
There's going to be none today, trust me.
I'm not going to do it. All right, hey, don't go away. When we get back, everybody in New York can be a pothead starting in September. You can light up with no consequences. So great. New York is going to be one big pot den. Can't wait for that. Hey, the iHeartRadio Music Festival is back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. 2 nights, 1 stage. Listen to this lineup of performers. Justin Timberlake, Fleetwood Mac, one of my favorites, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Imagine Dragons, Leonard Skinner, Kelly Clarkson, and Sam Smith. Now's your last chance, your very last chance, to buy tickets at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Get them now before they sell out. All the info you need is at 710WOR.com or iHeartRadio.com. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Byder.
This is one of those days. There's so much to discuss. You know, we didn't even touch on the fact. Well, coming up after the news at the top of the hour, Michael,
yep.
Jim Ryan's going to join us from Texas. He's on the front line of the immigration story. Terrific ABC News correspondent. He'll give us the latest. But we didn't even touch on the fact that the president met with the Republican congressman yesterday.
He did, yeah.
And I'm not sure what came out of that. I guess I was thinking that they'd all say, Mr. President, we got to do something here. And
that's what they're saying.
Apparently he gave him a pep talk.
He did. did, but Mitch McConnell in the Senate is trying to come up with a bill to reunite the kiddies with their parents. You know, I think maybe it was a little extreme, but Trump has now put immigration on the table in a way it has never been put on the table before, and he has forced the Congress now to confront issues that it has been ignoring for all these years.
I thought this tweet was a little inflammatory, but I'm sure you'll defend it because that's what you do.
Thank you.
The president tweeted yesterday, Democrats are the problem. They don't care about crime and want illegal immigrants, no matter how bad they may be, to pour into and infest our country like MS-13. They can't win on their terrible policies, so they view them as potential voters.
I think there's some truth to that, frankly. I think Democrats want illegals here so that they can get them on the welfare state. They can create a permanent underclass that they can pass out goodies to, and then those people will be voting Democrats into power for a long time. That's probably their cynical Machiavellian design.
Are you getting like handouts from the RNC? Are you on their list now, the way other people are around
I'm not, but the Democrats, they want a base of voters who are dependent on the government.
So let all kinds of criminals or whatever, let them out of jail, so they can vote Democrats.
Democrats have done nothing about immigration all of these years. Now, unfortunately, Trump has handed them these optics with these camps down there that the Democrats now are going to be using to gin up their base. And it's up to the Republicans to solve the immigration problem.
Well, I thought it was up to the Democrats.
No, the Democrats are not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything now.
The president says it's all up to the
Democrats. Now they're going to ride this out. They love the images coming out of Texas. They're going to call Trump a Nazi. They're going to say Republicans are Nazis. That's what they will do to gin up their base. The Republicans can solve this problem. They should be solving it. I think Trump and Mitch McConnell and the House, they can come up with a sensible immigration policy.
Well, let's see. If it's 100% what the president wants, there's going to be a problem. I mean, billions for the wall. Anyway, we'll deal with this all morning long. The marijuana deal is now set in stone. The mayor said yesterday that come September 1st, you don't get arrested. Most of the people, if you're a criminal or
if you're driving,
but for the most part, just a summons.
The underlying motivation here, we've talked about it before, is to reduce unnecessary arrest, which is something we've been doing across the board with very positive impact, and reduce disparity.
That disparity is the big thing in his book, because 86% of those arrested for marijuana are black and Latino, so he wants to spread the wealth.
The unintended consequences of this, quality of life. You're going to see people just hanging out on the street corner because they can do it openly now, smoking marijuana, and the city is going to start to get shabbier and shabbier. That's what I think is going to happen. I saw it happen in Denver. We've had a lot of callers calling in who've been to Denver. I walked down the street. I was amazed at how sleazy and shabby the place looks, and there's a pot den on every block in that city, and we'll have it here.
What do you think Police Commissioner James O'Neill thinks of all this?
I don't know.
Well, look, here you go.
The NYPD has no interest in arresting people for marijuana offenses, and those arrests have no direct impact on public safety.
Well, he's taking his marching orders from the mayor.
So he is. So he really is not subscribing to broken windows, because there are those who will argue that if you do arrest on small offenses, then the big offenses will not be as numerous.
You just wait and see, Lynn. Wait and see when you walk down the street, when everybody's out there smoking a joint, how shabby this city becomes.
Yeah, I you know, first of all, they're doing it already. I mean, you walk down the street and that's all you smell.
Well, but now they're encouraged to do it. Now, basically, let's say, do it. Everybody can go out there and smoke a joint. Be great. Fabulous.
It's still illegal.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything about it.
Well,
so
you're going to get a
technically
summons.
What do you think? The summons is going to matter to anybody?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
they're not going to enforce
it. When you say a summons, is that a fine?
It's like a parking ticket.
Okay. So those are expensive, those parking tickets.
Yeah.
As long as they don't tow you to the pound. I mean, those are expensive.
Right.
People are going to ignore the summons.
You're going to give a criminal record to somebody for smoking pot.
Do you think they care if they're out there smoking pot? They're not even thinking straight. They're going to be so high, and the police will look the other way.
That doesn't make them a criminal.
I'm not saying they're criminals. I'm just saying
you've got a criminal record.
Do you want the quality of life in this city to fall apart?
I don't think it's an open door to smoking pot on the street. Because it is still illegal, and you will still get stopped.
I still worry about. I do worry about quality of life issues. I really do. I'm not.
I think so.
I'm in favor of this disparity thing, but you know, there's some issues here. Hey, coming up, Jim Ryan is going to report from the front line. He's down in Texas. He's going to give us the latest. Plus, we have Mets tickets coming your way, both at 7:30 and with the Turning Point at 8:30. But right now, here's Joe Bartlett with the latest news. It is 7 o'clock.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Morning. Welcome to the last day of spring. This time tomorrow will be summertime.
Oh, yes.
Summer officially is summer solstice. It's tomorrow morning.
But then the days start to get shorter.
Yeah, that always annoys me. I don't know why that works out that way. You know, first day of winter, the days get longer. And the first day of summer, the days get shorter.
Yep. There's a beautiful, beautiful morning coming to work today, though. Yeah, sky was pink, blue, lovely.
I guess we're expecting a slight chance of a shower, high around 81 today. But anyway, welcome to summer tomorrow. Our big three stories. Obviously, the immigration issue roils on as the president met with House Republicans. Governor Cuomo says he's suing the Trump administration over the border separation. I don't know. That's kind of ridiculous.
All politics, grandstanding, silliness.
Meanwhile, the Homeland Security Secretary is heckled out of a Mexican. You know, the optics of that. Homeland Secretary.
I know.
Kirsten Nielsen goes to a Mexican restaurant. And listen what's going on outside.
Secretary Nielsen, how dare you spend your evening here eating dinner as you're complicit in the separation and deportation of over.
Anyway, this went on for a while. We'll talk about
it
later.
She wanted some rice and beans.
Well, she had to leave the restaurant. But just. Why, of all restaurants?
Hello, takeout.
A Mexican restaurant.
Takeout,
really?
Nielsen. Takeout.
Really, Kirsten? Also, in the big three, a story that you are very much in favor of, Michael Riedel, the U.S. pulling out of the U.N. Human Rights Council.
It's a bastion of anti-Semitism.
They are anti-Semitic.
Like most of the United Nations. Yeah. I think the U.S. should pull out of the United Nations altogether and stop funding it. And we should turn it into a hotel or luxury condos.
Okay, sounds good. Around the... Luxury. That's, I used to think
you don't like the building.
Well, I don't from the outside. When I was a kid, we went on a school trip in the fourth grade, and I thought the Security Council was really cool looking.
Yeah.
I loved the trip through the UN. But that building itself, that boxy.
No, it's mid-century modern architecture. I love
it. Yes.
And it hasn't been updated. It's the same thing.
I know.
I mean, if you went there as a kid,
yeah,
and you went there today, it would look the same.
It looks like 1955 or 1960. It looks exactly like it did in North by Northwest when Cary Grant is there in the United
same
Nations.
Stupid green marble wall.
And a bunch of corrupt diplomats running around the hallways.
Oh, boy. Rounding out the big three, the family of a 12-year-old Rockaway Township girl, that's in New Jersey, is suing her school, claiming the bullying led to her suicide. Just a terrible story, which we're going to deal with in the next segment. Coming up at 7:30, we have some Mets tickets for you. We have more Mets tickets for you at 8:30 with the Turning Point Contest. Last night in Colorado, the Mets' three-game winning streak went kaput. They lost 10-8, but the good news is they scored 8 runs.
They did. They had a lot of runs.
12 good. The day before. They got 20 whole runs in 2 days. What took so long?
It was the air in Colorado.
Coverage, yeah, it is. Well, the ball does fly. Seth Lugo's on the mound tonight as the Mets try to start another winning streak. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. But straight away, let's go to ABC's fine correspondent, Jim Ryan. We love talking to him. He's down in Texas on the front line. And I don't know where to begin. What's your headline this morning, Jim?
Boy, it's just, I mean, the story changes by the hour, Len, in terms of how people are looking at it in terms of the the family separation angle. It just goes on and on. The president, as you know, met yesterday with some GOP lawmakers. They presented him with some ideas on legislation that could be put forward to, if not scrap the zero tolerance policy, at least to amend it so that families are not being separated. The president was concerned about the, quote, optics of that, the crying baby audio and pictures that are coming out of these detention centers, if you will. And so it looks like there may be some movement in that direction, but we are finally learning where some of these very young children and girls are being held, so-called tender age centers around South Texas, not too far from the borderland.
Jim, I want to ask you, I've been reading reports that not all of the children that show up at the border are being separated from their parents. Some of the kids are just being sent there without unaccompanied by themselves. Aren't there a whole bunch of kids in these detention centers who are not there with their parents?
Yeah, that certainly complicates things, especially if they're unable to provide a lot of information about where their parents are or if they have relatives here in this country. But that was a major problem back in 2014 as well. As you remember, Michael, there were thousands of kids, unaccompanied minors, who were being picked up along the border, having been sent up by their parents from Central America, and, you know, because of the hazardous conditions down there. So it's not a crisis that's completely unfamiliar to the country, but certainly the way that it's being handled now, with the separation, with these tender age centers, with these what some people are calling baby jails, it's a new take on the whole thing, Michael.
Well, you know, you mentioned it twice now, these tender age shelters. Babies. Yeah. I'm just trying to get my head around the idea of babies being separated from parents. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I obviously, you don't want to do a political report down there. You're just stating the facts. But how are the people in Texas reacting to that kind of story?
Well, certainly they're caught in the middle. And Texas being a big state, 27 million people or so, there are views on every end of the spectrum, but it is a big conservative state as well, maybe the deepest of the deep red states anywhere, generally supporting Trump administration policies. Polls suggest that indeed Texans are still standing behind him. But there are elements within the state, and especially in the cities, where folks aren't so inclined to feel that way. In fact, the city of Houston last night, news conference was held with the mayor and with the Catholic bishop and with others, community activists down there, saying, look, we know that the Department of Health and Human Services wants to open another shelter here in Texas, or in Houston. The Houston mayor said, forget it, we're not interested in that. Now, they may still be able to do it. I don't know if legally the city can prevent the feds from doing it, but certainly they've staked their ground on the whole debate, Len.
Jim, give us a sense. What is it like inside these shelters? So far, I have not seen any reports of these kids being abused in any way. I mean, America is taking care of these kids in these shelters, is it not?
Well, sure. I mean, they're provided with the basics, Michael, but not much more than that. And psychologists who are weighing in now are saying that, no, they're not being physically abused. They're being given three meals a day, two snacks, shower facilities, clothing, and the basic needs, the things to survive. But their contention is that there's an emotional abuse at being taken away from their parents in the first place for whatever reason. As somebody pointed out this morning, it's been raining like hell down around Houston along the coast, just storming and raining. And you can imagine children waking up in the middle of the night, lightning flashes, and their parents are nowhere around.
No, I understand that. You know, one of the stories that's come up, and that Kirstjen Nielsen made a big deal at the White House briefing 2 days ago by saying that she wants immigrants to come across and identify themselves at the port of entries as seeking asylum, and those people will be handled appropriately. But then you keep hearing these anecdotal stories that all kinds of people coming up and seeking asylum are being told, come back later. We don't have room for you now. Go away. I mean, what are you hearing?
Right. Well, and you've seen video that kind of reflects that, too, that at some of these ports of entry where people are supposed to come and present themselves and begin this immigration process in the asylum system. And by the way, if you do that, you're supposed to be able to keep your kids with you, and there's housing for families. If you're coming through elsewhere and not necessarily seeking political asylum, then the situation is completely different. But you're right. I mean, people sitting there for literally days sometimes, they are provided with food and whatnot, but no shelter. They're sitting outside this place waiting for an opportunity to meet with immigration officials. So, yeah, I think that's pretty well proven up.
All right, Jim. I have a hunch we'll be speaking with you again in the coming days. Appreciate it. Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent based in Dallas.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Michael, I know you're defending the president. I don't think this is about... Well, this is all about, to me, is they've just got to stop the family separation. Now,
listen, I don't like the kids being taken away from the parents.
And babies in these tender age shelters. Can you imagine
baby? Kind of sweet, tender age shelters.
Can you imagine a baby? Are you kidding me? So, in America in 2018, we're going to take a baby away from people?
So what do you propose, Len, still, you don't come up with any solutions. Do you believe, like many Democrats, that we should just have open borders?
No.
Let everybody come in with their kids and see what happens.
No. I have no problem with turning them back as a family.
So why don't we turn them back as a family? That's what we should be doing.
Well, we
can't. Shouldn't let them in the first
place, unless there are serious asylum concerns, and there are. And I know it's very difficult. Anybody can walk up and claim asylum.
Anything.
I know.
We can't let anyone in because it's my town is terrible. There are drug dealers who are shooting my kids. Let me in.
I get it.
You got to vet everything.
I get it. I get it completely. You can't be taking away babies and kids from their families. And I don't have the magic pill for what happens when these parents just send the kids across the border. I mean, that's another issue.
Well, if the
that's a separate issue.
If the parents send the kids across the border, then we have to have a place that we take the kids in and feed them and shelter them and look after them.
I understand.
You know, I mean, if the parents are parents are the ones who are guilty of child abuse, if they push their own kids unaccompanied over the border, that is child abuse.
I just think
they are abandoning their kids.
I think we have to isolate out the issue of parents and kids being separated and not have the $25 billion wall being built on their backs. You can't say, oh, well, we got to have the comprehensive immigration program. And no, you got to separate that out. As America, we have to stop separating kids from their families. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And then let's deal with the rest. I don't want to open borders. Absolutely not. And I think we should have a comprehensive immigration.
I don't understand the hang up on the wall. We've got a fence. Why not a wall? What's the difference between a fence and a wall?
I think the wall is a total waste of money. And as one of the congressmen we had on the air the other day said from New Jersey, they'll go under the wall. They'll go around the wall. They're found other ways.
Israelis built a great wall to keep the suicide bombers out. We'll get the Israelis in here to build our wall.
Coming up. A tragic, tragic New Jersey bullying story, and it turns out it's a suicide. But first, let's see how traffic's flowing. Here's Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you, Len.
Good morning to you.
7:30, I'm going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Mets, so you'll want to call in at 7:30. Not now, but at 7:30, right. You want to call in. So stick around for that. And Len, you want to read some tweets bashing me, apparently. You love that. He gets so gleeful, all right, in the morning when somebody emails or tweets him.
Yeah.
Because Len has very few supporters.
Stop.
So when somebody comes up to bash me, Len just... The glee in his voice, the look on his face. Here's what he says in the break. He said, I'm going to read a tweet. And I thought, here it comes. The hammer blow is headed right.
No.
I'm going to read a tweet. Okay, let's start the segment. I'm going to read a tweet. Okay, Len, read your tweet.
Okay, I'm going to read a tweet.
Go for it.
You can tweet us at LenMichaelWOR, which is our Twitter handle. And you can also email us at our website individually. So I'm going to read you a tweet and an email. You can email us. Go to 710WOR.com/LenAndMichael. And you can email us, and most of the time we answer when it's not written in crayon. Hey, the tweet comes from Sir Christopher.
Sir Christopher.
Well, that's his Twitter handle.
Okay.
And he heard you ranting and raving with all this fury, and all he said was, sounds like Michael needs to smoke a joint. That's all he said. What was that? That's not a negative.
I have smoked pot a couple of times.
We're not asking.
In
we don't
life.
Care.
But, you know, I can't inhale. That's the problem.
Me too.
I'm like President Clinton.
That's me.
I didn't inhale.
I tried it.
I cough, I hack, and it makes me sick. My lungs burn. I would love to calm down with a little pot from time to time. I just don't know how to inhale.
So bring in a thermos of booze. Are you sure that's water in that thermos?
Well, I'm going to ask Joe Bartlett to give me some lessons on inhaling pot, because I have a feeling Joe is so adamant that marijuana should be legal.
Come on. I'm going to give you a second here. Hold on.
If I ever saw someone who looks like a pothead,
Joe Bartlett, you know it.
Okay. By the way, I tried pot a few times in college. I can't inhale either.
Makes me gag and cough.
Anyway, Ryan on that subject emailed me and said, can we ask Michael, while he cries about adults smoking pot and pot dens on every corner in Colorado, what is he going to do about the scourge of alcohol dens that are on every block in every city in America? I guess he's talking about bars.
He's talking about bars, I was going to say. What do you want me to do,
alcohol
shut down
dens.
The bars?
Yeah.
We don't want prohibition back. Hey, on a serious story, Len, this really it affected us all this morning. We were talking about it. So this 12-year-old girl, Mallory Grossman, she was bullied at school last year. She killed herself, and now her parents are suing the school district, Rockaway out there. They're suing the principal. They're suing school officials out in Rockaway Township.
Because
none of these school officials did anything. They didn't lift a finger to stop those kids who were bullying Mallory.
The district does push back. They said they did not ignore the bullying. But did you hear some of the details there? Well, let the mother, this is the mom, this is Diane Grossman, who this happened, by the way, she killed herself a year ago last week.
Yeah.
So now the suit is filed this week.
We used to say, go jump in the lake. That was a funny thing to say. Now our kids are saying, go kill yourself. We've got to recognize that that type of language has to be intolerable.
Listen to this, Michael. The suit alleges that a student's texted a picture of Mallory Grossman walking alone and captioned the phrase, you have no friends.
Terrible.
The suit alleges the same child who sent the text message also said, when are you going to kill yourself? I mean, this is just unbelievable.
Now, and a girl stood up in front of other classmates, looked at Mallory and said, when are you going to kill yourself?
Yeah.
And the girl did go and kill herself. I don't know. The stunning detail here is the way they handled the situation was at the lunchroom when she was being bullied. They took her out of the lunchroom. They separated her and made her eat by herself. Now, a 12-year-old is going to think it is all my fault. This is all on me. I just can't believe the school officials acted this way.
Here's Mom Diane again.
The poor behavior and the poor decisions that these children make, it's still continuing. These children have not changed.
It's just, it's heartbreaking. Now, they're claiming she repeatedly showed school officials horrible social media posts and texts and followed them up regularly, but to no avail.
And what's
nothing happened, she said.
I don't understand. So the school officials are afraid to get involved in any of this at all? Isn't part of being a school official making sure that kids are looked after, that they're taken care of? And to teach kids who are bullying other kids the lesson that this is not acceptable in any way, especially in the school?
Well, obviously, we'll hear from the school when the lawsuit is answered or if it goes to trial. I mean, the district is denying that it ignored the bullying. So it's just a heartbreaking story what happens with kids. And of course, social media only exacerbates the situation.
There's no one crueler on the planet than kids to other kids sometimes. Terrible.
That's true. All right. On a brighter note,
it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Rays on July 8th at Citi Field, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. I want you to be caller number 28. If you're caller number 28 at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710, if you're 28, you're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the 7:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael, our news brought to you by NYC Pain MD. Treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEE. That's 1-855-653-5633. Mayor de Blasio could visit the Mexico border amid an outcry over the immigration policy that separates kids from their parents. The U.S. Conference of Mayors is meeting in Texas tomorrow. The mayor will be there and says they could go to the border.
We just have to do everything we can to stop it. And that's why, again, mayors are stepping up. We're going to do everything in our power to stop this and provide support to these families.
The mayor says the U.S. is supposed to be a beacon of hope for people, not a place that separates families. Governor Cuomo suing the federal government over the policy. Governor Murphy over in New Jersey says he will not allow any New Jersey resources to be used for that purpose.
He doesn't have any resources. It's New Jersey.
A jury's been seated in the corruption retrial of former Senate leader Dean Skelos and his son Adam. He's accused of using his political influence to get a high-paying, no-show job for his son. The jury consists of 7 women and 5 men. Opening statements will begin later today.
So do you think they'll get him the way they did Shelley Silver the second time around? Or?
Well, they got him the first time.
Right.
Yeah, they got him the first time. But it was overturned.
Right.
He was convicted.
Right.
And this all has to do with the Supreme Court decision.
Correct.
And I guess case, whether right. or not the jury was aware of it. But
gotcha.
Look, they got him the first time. I think they get him the second time. Okay. The president got a rude welcome on Capitol Hill last night. Listen to this. F you.
Wow.
You F you.
Wow.
The president arrived at the office of Speaker Paul Ryan. A congressional intern yelled at him.
That doesn't seem
That was
right.
an intern?
That was an intern.
That doesn't seem right.
All right, that intern's got to be fired.
Is that intern in trouble now?
Yes, they haven't found her yet. The president didn't acknowledge the person.
Wow.
Capitol Police were told to be on the lookout for a woman with an intern badge, dirty blonde hair, and blue checkered pants. No word.
That's what the interns wear.
Blue checkered pants. She should be fired for the blue checkered pants.
That's a fireable offense.
Good God. But that's not right. If you're going to work as an intern on Capitol Hill, you can't behave that way.
No way. And by the way, you know the way they people are treating President Trump is just not right. The media, especially. I was just talking to Michael about this. I was watching ABC last night. Cecilia Vega, the White House correspondent, twice in a report says the president falsely claims that Democrats are to blame or whatever.
That is true.
Whether or not it's true, that's not true. But listen, whether or not it's true, you are a journalist. It's not up to you to judge the veracity of that statement. The president says they never said Hillary Clinton falsely claims she didn't send classified email.
Right.
They never said Richard Nixon falsely claimed he was not a crook.
But all of a sudden now they're all using Trump falsely.
By the way.
When it comes to journalism, Len, all politics aside, you know, let's play it straight.
Well, let me ask you a question. I think it's been proven, and you don't want to hear this, but cover your ears. It's been proven that he has told more truths than just about anybody in the history of the presidency in a short period of time.
So sometimes
you're just going to let him say anything and never challenge it?
The president has a right to make a statement. And it's up to us to decide whether it's a lie.
But it's the Democrats didn't. It was his attorney general that put this rule in effect. It wasn't the Democrats.
This law has been on the books since 2008. He's decided to enforce it.
So say that. Don't say the Democrats did this. Say I take credit for this. I take full ownership of this.
But again, just keep your nose out of the story as a reporter.
You don't like it because they
never did that with anyone else.
Okay, boys, let's take a deep breath.
Oh, okay.
And let's go into our separate corners.
I think you need a marijuana cigarette, Joe.
And we'll all play together nicely.
Really? This is coming from you?
Back. Yes, I'm trying to separate you two. You're about to hit each other. Hey, stick around. Rachel Maddow, she melted down in a flood of tears last night. I think she needs a better acting coach because that was phony baloney time, if you ask me. And also, is Trump's campaign manager an insensitive clod? All that is coming up when we get back. But first, let's go to Bernie Viter with the draft.
Now, before we move on, Michael, we were talking about bullying before. We got a tweet at our Twitter handle, which is at Len Michael WOR. A guy named Rob tweeted us and said, we're talking about this Rockaway Township situation.
Yeah, that poor little girl, Mallory, who killed herself.
Committed suicide. They're suing, and the suit alleges the school did nothing. Well, the fellow who tweeted us said, sadly, this is the way schools deal with bullying. He said, my nephew, who has Asperger's, was bullied every day in the Clifton, New Jersey schools to the point where he came home in the winter with no jacket because it was stolen. I mean, just
terrible.
Heartbreaking stories.
I just can't believe. I don't know. I don't know what discipline is like in the schools now. I don't have kids. All I remember when I was growing up, when I was in high school, when I was in elementary school, teachers had a lot of power. And if a kid was picking on another kid, that teacher could move in and take out that kid who was the bully.
Now I guess
they can't touch the kids now. Right. Everybody has their different side of the story. It's best if the teacher turns away and ignores the problem because the teacher might be sued.
That's what it comes down to.
This is ridiculous.
The school and the teachers being sued. Just like how we saw it happen in, you know, medicine. Where your doctors, you know, was all became about malpractice and lawsuits, and then all of a sudden, you know, the care changed, and the same thing is happening in the schools. And instead of the first thing that they're concerned about would be the kids,
they have to worry about themselves.
And you know what? It's not the teacher's fault because the teachers, you know, are feeling pressure from the school districts, and the school districts are feeling pressure from the parents. And it just becomes a vicious cycle. And how they're going to correct this, I am not sure.
Yeah,
and terrible. You know, then you also have the boundaries of where does the school's boundary line stop?
I remember,
is it in the classroom or is it what's happening on their phones?
I remember there was a real jerk in high school, and he was nasty to a lot of people, and he said some very unpleasant things towards a girl in the class, and the math teacher pushed him up against a wall and said, "I never want to hear you say that again." And I thought, absolutely should hit him too.
Wow.
But you couldn't do that now, right? You would let the kid just say whatever he wants to say.
And you know what? Other students feel
you know, are fearful of stepping into situations where if they see something happening, another kid is like, oh, you know, if I get involved, then I'm going to get called down and I'm going to get into this. And everybody's
right.
afraid.
Right. It's a not my problem society. That's what we have. Not my problem. Not my problem.
Let me ask you a question. If you are the Secretary of Homeland Defense,
mm-hmm.
What kind of restaurant would you eat at?
I would do takeout. I wouldn't be going out in public these days.
This big issue down on the Mexican border. Well, Kirstjen Nielsen last night shows up at the MXDC Cochina Mexicana restaurant.
Oh, no, what an idiot.
On 14th Street in Manhattan, Washington, rather.
What an idiot.
And just listen to what was going on outside the restaurant while she's eating her tacos inside.
Secretary Nielsen, how dare you spend your evening here eating dinner as you're complicit in the separation and deportation of over 10,000 children separated from their parents? How can you enjoy a Mexican dinner as you're deported? Imprisoning tens of thousands of people who come here seeking asylum in the United States.
That's a bad optic to go to a Mexican restaurant.
Did you have a chance to finish your fish tacos?
They were yelling shame.
Shame! Shame!
Well, she had to leave the restaurant. I guess they interrupted her meal, went home and had her margaritas. I know.
She's got to do takeout. She's got to learn her lesson. Got to do takeout.
Did you hear Corey?
Hey, by the way, I had a winner. Yeah. I wanted to get my winner.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to Scott Ream from the beautiful town of Cold Spring Harbor. He won the Mets tickets. He'll be going to see the Mets take on the Rays on July 8th at 8:30. We're going to be having our turning point from the game last night. So another chance for you to win Mets tickets.
Cold Spring Harbor is a gorgeous town. Hey, how did you see Corey Lewandowski? He was on...
Yeah, but you're misinterpreting this.
Really?
You're totally misinterpreting
this. Okay, well, let's listen.
Okay.
I mean, look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
What?
I read about a...
All right, so that was Lewandowski in the background. He was not speaking. That was a Democratic a supporter. So he was speaking in the background. And he's.
I mean, look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
What?
I read about a. Did you say want to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome
what
being
I
taken
said
from
is
her
you
mother?
Can pick anything
How
you
dare
want
you?
Up, but the bottom line
How
is very clear.
How dare you?
When you cross
How absolutely
the border,
dare you?
I agree with that.
He is not saying wah-wah by make. He's not making fun of the Down syndrome kid by saying wah-wah. He's just saying wah-wah, meaning, oh, here you go. On the liberal talking points, you've isolated one incident and you're going to throw it out at me. He's just going, wah, wah. We've heard all of this stuff before. He is not making fun of a Down syndrome kid, Len. And
well, then it was poor placement of the wah, wah.
Yes, it was. I agree with
he
that.
He needed better timing on his comic
relief.
How do
you make fun of, first of all, of course, you don't make fun of Down syndrome kids, but why does anyone think if you go wah, wah, that's making fun of a Down syndrome kid?
Well, someone's bringing up the issue of a Down syndrome kid. You don't go,
wah,
I read
a. Yeah.
He's going wah, wah, because here we go with the bleeding heart liberal talking points. That's the wah, wah.
Did you like Rachel Maddow any better?
Oh, my.
This has just come out from the Associated Press. This is incredible. Trump administration officials have been sending babies and other young children. Oh.
You couldn't continue. Wah, she broke down in tears.
Wah. Oh, that was so fake. That was so
really?
Fake. I did not believe that for one moment. She was staging it. She knew what she was doing. I didn't believe it at all. At all.
Hmm.
Did you? Come on.
I don't
know. You.
All right. Coming up. How about Stormy Daniels?
Oh, now this is good.
This is, she's trying to make a living with not all her clothes, but they're not all off either. We'll explain in just a minute. She's back in the news. But first, let's hit track. Well, before we do that, let me tell you that our iHeart Music Festival is back. That's September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Performances by Justin Timberlake, Fleetwood Mac, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, on and on it goes, Kelly Clarkson, Sam Smith. Your last chance to buy tickets now at iHeartRadio.com. And now it's time for traffic with Bernie Byer.
And a very good Wednesday morning to everybody. Coming up on 7:55. It's going to be a nice day. A few showers maybe later in the day, but not as hot as it was earlier in the week. It's actually, it was a beautiful morning when I was headed to work.
It was.
Spar with my good friend, Len Berman.
Good buddy. Hey, you know, we were talking about immigration, some of the craziness going on. This, you know, this guy, Michael Grimm.
Yes.
He was in jail. Now he's running for office again on Staten Island, congressman. He had this thought about the detention. Well, they're being referred to as detention centers with kids taken away from their parents.
I think it's extremely unfortunate, but what people are forgetting, they just want to listen to those tapes. You know, I can take you to any nursery and you're going to hear the exact same things as a mother leaves to go to work and has to leave her child at daycare. You're going to hear those same exact things.
There you go.
Hey, there you go, Mr.
Crying. He was talking about all the cry, that tape that came out, which you, of course, poo-pooed and downplayed.
Well, I was pointing out, Len, that tape came out through ProPublica, which is a hardcore left-wing commie media organization.
So what? It exists. But hey, Grimm says it's just like daycare. So there you go.
You know, hey, you know what my position is, Len?
What's your position?
Keep the parents with the children in the same cell and then send them back. They're here illegally. What are you going to do?
Whatever the solution is.
What are you going to do?
Just don't separate them.
Yeah, well, put them in the same cell.
Babies. They're separating babies now. How cruel is that?
Put them in the same cell with the parents, give them some toys to play with, and then send everybody back and say, you know what? Here's what it says. You can't come here to get into the country just because you want to cross the border. Sorry, that's not how it works.
You go from that to Stormy Daniels.
Oh, I know.
What a segue, Riedel.
Oh, all right. Well, if you are in the market for some ladies' lingerie, Stormy Daniels has it for you. She has teamed up with the high-end lingerie company called Pulchra Intimates.
Pulchra Intimates,
Intimates, which has locations in Pittsburgh and Beverly Hills.
Well, I would put Pittsburgh and Beverly Hills in the same sentence. Yeah.
Helen Hoey.
Really?
Yes. Helen Hoey. Hoey.
Really?
Yes.
What a name. Really?
Pulchra Intimates.
Really?
She says that, Pulchra Intimates, she says, does not condone porn, but Stormy Daniels is intelligent, and she's very much about, quote, sex positivity. And she's going to be designing lingerie. The pieces are adjustable. Okay. And they range in size from 2 to size 14. Now, Natalie, help me out here. What would you say Stormy Daniels' cup size is?
Oh, I don't think she'd even fit into a 14.
A giant sippy cup?
Yeah.
For Stormy Daniels.
She said they're adjustable, so maybe they're adjusting it somehow that way. She probably will not fit into her own clothing line.
This is not her. This is not her first foray because apparently on her own website.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, yes. She has a Stormy store.
Yes.
Yeah. And the T-shirts are emblazoned. You want to read some of the phrases, Natalie, should I?
No. I could read some for you. You know, she has the hashtag Team Stormy, which is you know, nice.
Okay.
Then she has one that looks like a tabloid newspaper that says fake boobs, fake news.
Oh, we got to change our segment here. Real news or fake news. We got to, from now on, call it fake boobs or fake news.
So that's
it's time to play fake boobs and fake news on Len Berman.
And another T-shirt says?
There's one of her kind of
bent over?
Over a Forbes magazine that says... Don't make me spank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
there you go,
Natalie. It's great.
Come on. All right. No more. When we do these contests, we're not going to give away Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning T-shirts anymore. We're going to give away Don't Make Me Spank You T-shirts.
By the way, Joe Bartlett just walked in to do the 8 o'clock news. Joe, I just want you to know one of your fans tweeted us at the website.
Oh, great.
It's the gleefulness with which he reads these tweets at us.
He was trashing the media for saying that Donald Trump was untruthful. He said they should just do the news and not opinionate. So we got an email, a tweet from The Futurist, and he says, tell hypocrite Bartlett to pay attention to his own words. He talks about objective reporting and a station newsman. He barks his personal views every day on the air, spouted on the golf course in a booze haze.
By the way, I refrain from expressing my political opinions within the news. Outside the news, I'll tell you.
Try telling that to him.
Yeah.
Cry me a river, Bartlett. I mean, really.
So the alcoholic haze on the golf course, and you got the pot haze going on. How do you keep it together, Joe?
This is all, it's fake news.
It's fake boobs.
Fake news.
Fake boobs or fake news.
It's all fake boobs. That's all it is. Hey, don't go away because Governor Cuomo is suing the federal government, protesting these immigration policies. And guess what? De Blasio, he's going to go visit the border when he's down in Texas. More grandstanding from our progressive politicians here in New York. And also when we get back, WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini is going to be reporting from one of the NYC child detention centers. That's all coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Hazy Joe Bartlett.